mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, House leadership has sent lawmakers home from Washington for their extended summer recess with unfinished business on the table. We'll speak with Congressman Bob Latta. Also this morning, the latest in our series of crime prevention conversations. When neighbors come together with law enforcement and first responders, the result is a safer community for everyone. That's what next week's Flag City Night Out is all about. And as summer begins to wind down, there's still plenty to do with programs and activities in the month of August. From the Hancock Park District, Michelle Rumschlag will tell us what's happening. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Thursday, July 30th, 2024. Apparently, in Ohio, we are more stressed than many other places in the country. This Wallet Hub report that I saw in the Newswire this morning, I actually think that we talked about this earlier this month. We had the highlights of this, but I've got a little bit more details on this now. New report from Wallet Hub finds that the most stressed city in America, Cleveland, Ohio, the most stressed city in America, ahead of Detroit, Baltimore, Memphis, and Gulfport, Mississippi, the rest of the top five. But Cleveland at number one on a list that you do not want to be number one on. Most stressed cities in America. Not only that, and by the way, they took into account factors like average number of hours worked per week, unemployment rates, divorce rates, all of those things that could stress you out. So they factored all of this in. And not only is Cleveland number one, but Ohio has a number of cities right up there at the top of the list. Akron is number eight overall. Cincinnati is number 23. Toledo, number 26. And Columbus, number 67. By the way, there are like 180 cities total. So we've got five in the, you know, top 70. So that's, again, those are lists that you don't want to be at the top of. I think we had this story earlier in the month with just some of the highlights of the most stressed cities. But looking a little deeper into the numbers here, my goodness, we need to de-stress, relax, take a deep breath. One of the things that may be stressing us out, and I did not break this down by gender, male versus female, but one of the things that's probably stressing women out is, according to a recent study in the Archives of Women's Mental Health, finds that moms still carry the mental load when it comes to running the household, household tasks, basic household tasks and chores. And this extra stress that women are carrying could take a toll, obviously, on their overall health and well-being. Researchers asked more than 300 moms about who is responsible for 30 different household tasks. And guess what? Moms reported doing more chores, doing more planning, and doing more of the domestic work than did the males. They refer to it as the mental load. Knowing all of the chores, all of the things that women have to do to keep the household running. It's a very heavy mental load. The only task where fathers took on the mental load and execution, taking out the garbage. Everything else fell to the moms, but dads take out the garbage. The extra mental load that women take on has been linked to depression, relationship dissatisfaction, and burnout. So maybe that's one of the reasons why we are so stressed out in this country. Anyway, speaking of rankings, the U.S. still leads the medal count at the Paris Games. The Summer Olympics going on. Team USA picked up some more hardware yesterday, but no more. We didn't win any gold medals yesterday. We won more medals, but no golds. We still have three gold medals among our 20 that we have collected overall. So overall, we're at the top of the medal count. just ahead of France with 16. But in terms of the gold medal count, we're sixth. Japan has the most gold medals with 6 overall. We have just 3. So we have to pick it up. I mean, winning medals is great, but we want to win gold. We want to get the big story out of Paris today is that the men's triathlon has been postponed. Apparently, the swimming portion of the triathlon was set to take place in the Seine River, but they have detected high levels of E. coli from raw sewage in the river. So they have decided that they're not going to hold the swimming events while the water is unhealthy. But I say, hey, if you're not prepared to sacrifice for your sport, should you really be competing at the Olympic level? I mean, you know, every sport carries a risk of injury. So you got to be dedicated. You got to be willing to sacrifice. What's a little raw sewage? I mean, come on. So they'll try it tomorrow. Just do they think that the E. coli and raw sewage is going to disappear? I don't know. Are they, you know, in the river with a giant strainer to get it all out? I don't know, but that's what they say. Some of the other most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. The first things you need to know this morning: Ohio's annual sales tax holiday period begins today, giving shoppers a temporary exemption on sales tax. It was created to ease the financial strain of getting kids ready to go back to school. But this year, and it's always been the case where people have shopped for things outside of just the kids going back to school. I mean, that's what it was designed for, but everybody has taken advantage of this. And now this year, you can buy even more stuff and save money on the tax. This year's maximum cost of exempt items has been increased. And there are some other things that are different this year. Number one, it's longer. It's not just a weekend. It runs today through August 8th. And I thought this was interesting. I did not realize. It says here the tax on restaurant dining is also exempt. So you eat in a restaurant during the holiday period, you'll also see no tax on your food. So, kind of interesting. So anyway, the exemptions, the sales tax holiday is underway. Speaking of Ohio stories, I also saw this on the state news wire. I thought was kind of interesting. State officials urging Ohioans to learn how to help when someone is experiencing a medical emergency. The Department of Public Safety and Ohio Emergency Medical Services are launching an awareness campaign called Every Minute Counts. Leaders of the initiative say the goal is to encourage citizens to learn how to perform hands-only CPR and use an AED device to assist someone who is having a sudden cardiac episode. They recently passed a law requiring AEDs in every school and at athletic facilities in the state of Ohio. Experts say every minute someone spends in cardiac arrest without hands-only CPR reduces their chance of survival by 10%. 10% every minute. And, of course, the AEDs are known to save lives, and now they're going to be available, but they're only as good as the knowledge of people who are there to operate them. So this is the time to learn how to do that. Every minute counts. Very important initiative. And lastly here, among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, we are only a couple of weeks away from back to school. I think it's 2 weeks from back to school for Findlay City School students, and for many of the county schools, they go back a little bit later on, about a week later, right before the fair for a few days before a break. But in any event, so time is running short on your summer vacation, and if you have not spent time with your kids, this is the time to make up for lost time over the summer. It says the average child under the age of six plays for 10 hours a day, according to a survey of 2,000 parents of young children. 10 hours a day. It adds up to about 3,650 hours per year of play for young children. 92% of parents believe that play is important for their child's growth and development. 74% say it helps foster their child's inquisitive nature by educating themselves on topics that their kid is interested in. Parents, caregivers, and educators can ensure their children the children in their care are consistently engaging in creative play and exploring the world around them, according to Dr. Lauren Loquasto of the Goddard School. Bottom line, and the reason I bring this up, there is still time to get outside and play, or you don't even have to get outside, just to get out, get outdoors, get down on the floor, play with your kids, because it is beneficial for them. Obviously, it's important for the relationship that you have with your kids. I bring it up because time is running short before they are heading back to school. And now, again, this survey was kids under the age of six, but I think that by extension, we could probably say the same thing about kids of any age. More time to play is a good thing, and there is still time to foster that play among our kids in these last couple of weeks before summer vacation ends. So make that your mission today. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Tuesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Partly cloudy today, a chance of a storm, a high in the mid-80s. Partly cloudy tonight, a low around 70. The Seneca County Sheriff's Office took a man into custody after responding to calls about a man shooting a firearm in his front yard. Deputies from the Sheriff's Office, along with the Tiffin Police Department, responded to the location on Morgan Avenue in Tiffin, and additional deputies and officers responded utilizing drones from the Seneca County drone team. The drones were the first ones to arrive at the location, and the man took aim at the drones but did not fire upon the drones. While the drone teams kept a visual on the subject, responding deputies and officers arrived at the scene and were able to place the 58-year-old from Tiffin into custody for firing a gun while intoxicated. Get more in this story on our website. A man from Texas is being praised for helping police in Bowling Green catch a pair of counterfeiting suspects.
Police say they received a call about two people trying to use fake $100 bills. The police chief saw one of the suspects and attempted to approach him before the suspect took off. That was when Jeremy King, a traveling superintendent contractor, jumped into action to help catch the man. BG police say although King and the painter did help catch the suspects, bystanders should be careful when getting involved while police are trying to make arrests.
WTOL 11's Kaylee Kirby reporting. The Stuff the Bus School Supplies Collection event in Findlay was a huge success again this year. Tammy Stahl, Executive Director of Christian Clearinghouse, says the community donated nearly 1,000 backpacks and a ton of school supplies.
Our community is fabulous. I really would like to thank you for all that you do and how you guys make a difference here in the community. Again, we are blessed. I'm just really astonished that there's so many school supplies out here this year and so many backpacks.
And she says there's still time to contribute as they'll be collecting supplies through August 4th. Get more details in the story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
So now to our cover story this morning. House leadership sent lawmakers home from Washington the other day for their extended summer recess with unfinished business on the table. Joining us this morning is Congressman Bob Latta. Congressman, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks very much for having me on.
We mentioned some unfinished business that has yet to be tended to in the House, not the least of which are the funding bills to make sure that the government has a budget funding set. There are, I think, something like 12 funding bills that still have yet to be voted on. Initially, Speaker Mike Johnson said that he wouldn't adjourn Congress until all of those things were dealt with. So why weren't they dealt with?
Well, we've gotten through already. It's about 75% of all federal spending are done. Unfortunately, we had certain bills that we were going to bring up on the floor, but we have a handful of Republicans that wouldn't vote for them. And since we have a very, very, very slim majority, we wouldn't be able to get those passed. So they're looking at when we come back to keep working on them in September.
But the government is going to run out of money in late right. September. Will there be enough time once you get back to settle those differences and get those bills passed? Or is this going to necessitate yet another continuing resolution in order to buy you more time?
Well, two things. One, you know, the Senate's not really doing anything on the spending bills right now. They're probably looking at saying, well, can we just do a continuing resolution at the end? And that's probably what we're going to end up having to do, is do a short term to make sure that the federal government shuts down, because always important to point out to people, when there is a government shutdown, we always pay everybody anyway. So it's like giving somebody, a federal employee, an extended vacation. So you don't want to shut the government down, because, and it also costs more money to start the government back up than if it hadn't been shut down. But we want to make sure we get these things done, because, again, you know, we're looking at over $1 trillion just to pay the interest on the debt next year alone. And so there's, you know, we have to start thinking about how you're going to pay the interest. Yeah, that's going to be a big thing you're going to have to contend with, because, again, for it to, you know, anything else that's out there, when you think of Social Security, Medicare, defense, and then interest will become the second largest payment that we make on, with the federal government.
Right. Speaking of funding, I do want to ask you about this, because a couple of months ago, funding dried up for the Affordable Connectivity Program, which, if folks aren't familiar, this is the program that subsidized internet access for low-income families. And as we know, you are the chair of the Energy and Commerce Committee's subcommittee on communication and technology. So I want to get your take on the funding or the elimination of this program. Should the funding have been allowed to dry up for this?
Well, you know, several things. First, believe it or not, there's 135 programs out there on broadband, 135 administered by about 15 different departments and agencies. And the program, you know, that when you look at during COVID that this came about, there's still a lot of different other programs. We've been working with our counterparts over in the Senate to try to get something done on this. So the Senate decided, well, let's just let it stop and see what happens. The Biden administration's already stepped in. And, it's, you know, it's always like where the money comes from. They found some money out there. They said that they can pay for some of this. But we want to make sure we have whatever we do, that we don't duplicate programs. That because, again, it's so, you know, again, we have 135 different programs out there. I'd love to be able to say we only had one, but you have so many departments and agencies out there vying for what they want to do with their own. But right now, we want to make sure that we also have we pay for whatever we do, and that we don't say, well, we just add it to the debt.
Would you agree, though, that this is a priority? I mean, you know, internet access at one time was kind of a luxury, but in 2024, this is kind of a necessity. Regardless of income, people need to be connected, whether it's for work or for their kids' school, right. That kind of thing. This is more than just a luxury today.
Right. And that's exactly as I was saying, that, you know, we're working with the Senate, because under what they call the Universal Service Fund, you know, how the money comes and is distributed then. But again, the big thing about this is that we want to make sure that whatever we get done, that we pay for it. And again, because the funding stream, of course, dried up, because this is only, you know, during COVID,
right,
what this is out there for. So what we want to make sure is that we get this done, but we also, you know, that you don't have so many duplicate programs, and duplicate's not even the right word when you have 135 different programs out mm-hmm. there that are available, and when you think about the on the funding side of it. So, but we're, you know, we're continuing to work on it, and we want to get something done because along right with that, we have an issue that we don't have what they call spectrum authority, being able to sell, and you know, spectrum here in the United States, so companies can keep expanding. And we've had a problem with over in the Senate that they're just not moving on getting this thing done, and because that also brings in a lot of money, billions of dollars from these spectrum sales. So this is something else we got to get done.
Would those two things, would the possibility exist that you could come to an agreement where those two things might be tied together?
Well, there's some talk that some of them over in the Senate, we're talking that way because, you know, we have different things we have to pay for. We have Chinese technology in our communication systems, and it's all been deemed that's not trustworthy. So we have what we call rip and replace going on there for a lot of the companies out there that had invested in Chinese equipment that then was deemed not trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And so that's something else we have to use that money for, is to help pay for that, to get that out. And and just, you know, talking about the communist Chinese, they are not a trading ally. They're an adversary. And I also have legislation out there for your routers in your house. You know, what could be being picked up from routers, to get a study done on that to make sure Chinese communist drones that are being used by folks out there who we have no idea what could be being picked up from there. So a lot of the money that sometimes comes in from the spectrum auctions is used for trying to fix problems like this.
Yeah. Want to ask you about a story that's making headlines this morning. Yesterday, President Biden proposed some pretty big made some pretty big proposals, one of which an amendment to remove presidential immunity, which the Supreme Court ruled on just a few weeks ago. He also suggested term limits for Supreme Court justices and a code of ethics for justices on the Supreme Court. Now, I don't believe that a constitutional amendment on presidential immunity or term limits for justices, I don't think those are going anywhere. But I do I am curious your thoughts on a code of ethics for Supreme Court justices, because it seems as though there has been some bipartisan support, some bipartisan talk about that being a loophole, if you will, that needs to be closed.
Well, on the first two issues, you're absolutely correct. You know, when you talk about we'd have to have a constitutional amendment, this is going back like with Franklin Roosevelt in the 1930s when he tried to pack the court,
right,
and he didn't get what he wanted. It's very, very dangerous what Biden is suggesting, because, again, this is why our founders put in a separation of powers between the legislative, executive, and the judicial branches. This goes back to our colonial times of Great Britain, when one individual could hold all three power. The question is on the third, you know, that's something I think that is, again, how would the legislative branch or the executive branch have the authority to tell them that that's what they're going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is something that the court would have to do within itself, because this is like several years ago when people in the House and Congress were saying, We're gonna mandate putting TV cameras in the Supreme Court. And I said, that's an interesting thought. How are you going to do that? Because they're an independent, they're the third branch of government out there. We can't tell them to do that. So I think that, you know, this is something that the justices would have, and through the court would have to come up with. And because, again, I don't see how the Congress, or it's sure not going to be the president mandating something. So it's going to have to be something done that the court would have to work through.
We will continue to watch that as it continues to be debated. Again, the House on its summer recess now, and Congressman Bob Latta with us this morning. Congressman, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Now time for latest in our ongoing series of crime prevention conversations. Officer Brian White, crime prevention officer at the Findlay Police Department, is with us in the studio this morning. Brian, good to see you as always.
Good morning. Appreciate Chris. It. Thanks for having me. Always, you know, good to see you as well.
We were talking, we're getting toward back to school here in just a couple of weeks. And I know a lot of what you do is centered around schools and so on. So what's going on for you as we start into this, heading into this transition time of the year?
Well, obviously a lot of stuff getting prepared to go back into the classrooms as well as the events that I do. But we do have our big event, kind of the end of the summer kind of bash, I guess you can say, coming up, which is Flag City Night Out on Tuesday, August 6th. So next Tuesday.
Yeah, week from today. And the idea here is to bring law enforcement first responders together with members of the community to make the community safer for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So this program has been going on since 1984. It actually started outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So it's a long-running program. The whole idea is to get the community engaged with officers in a laid-back atmosphere, right? Most of the time when people see us, we're on calls, and it's kind of a high-stress environment.
Right.
Not a whole lot of time for that bonding or getting your questions answered. So that's kind of what this event serves to do.
And you do that in any number of ways. First and foremost, getting the kids out to, you know, we talk with, about the kids and families, to see the vehicles, to see the individuals who would respond in the event of an emergency, ask all of those questions. As you know, kids have a million questions, this is the great chance for you to do that.
Correct. It's a great avenue for that. And it's not just police. It's also fire, EMS, all the safety services. So it's a chance to check out the equipment that our tax dollars pay for, right? Mm-hmm. That way gives people a chance to see why we have this equipment, how we utilize it. And we also put a few different spins on things. We like our mascot games. This will be the 10th annual mascot games, where we have area mascots come out and kind of compete in Olympics, which is kind of exciting with the Olympics going on right now.
Right.
Now, I say Olympics, but really we're talking easy stuff, musical chairs, right? Not full-on Olympics for area mascots.
I think that should be an Olympic sport. As a sidebar to that, that should be
I agree. I'm not sure the javelin will go over too well in the park, though.
Probably not.
But that gives the kiddos a chance to check out the mascots. And we also do our police fire games, right, where we have children pair up with officers and kind of do some fun stuff. And we've got an interesting twist on that this year as well. But we also do different demonstrations, right? A lot of people, they want to see the police dogs. That's always a crowd favorite. Mm-hmm. So we have our police canines out there kind of showing how we use them.
Yeah.
We also have some drones that we put up in the air, kind of show people why we would use those, the camera systems, what they can do. Mm-hmm. We also have something that's new in the last few years is our less lethal tools demonstration. So we carry a lot of equipment with us, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of it looks pretty scary, tasers, pepper spray.
Right.
And people wonder, why do you use that? Mm-hmm. Well, this is a chance for us to show people what this is, why we have it, and how it can actually serve to de-escalate a situation, rather than escalate into a situation where we might need to use more force, mm-hmm. right? And also, we tend to have a volunteer from a family member of an officer that volunteers to get tased. So the crowd tends to get a kick out of that as well.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's food and lots of activities for everybody in the family to take part in. It's just a great community gathering.
Yeah, so something we are proud of is that we have been able to keep this a free event for the public, right? Mm-hmm. We advertise it, keep your wallets at home. This is a time for you to come out and for us to give back. Now, we do that through a lot of donations from the public, and we definitely appreciate that. But there'll be things like pizza, hot dogs, water, so all that kind of stuff.
Right.
We also have Kona Ice there to give out Kona Ice. Movement Church always provides root beer floats for the crowd.
Very good.
We serve coffee. We'll be there with some coffee. Mm-hmm. And of course, we got to give a shout out to Heavenly Pizza because they always provide the pizza for us.
Yeah. So as we mentioned, this is a week from today. It's next Tuesday.
Correct.
And you're at Riverside Park?
Yeah, we'll be at Riverside Park next to the volleyball courts, Kitty Corral area. We always have that section blocked off, lots of shade, great place to kind of host an event like this. With attendance, it's usually pretty big, so we always encourage people to get there a little bit early. Parking can be a little difficult sometimes, but there are definitely places to park. And yeah, one of the other things that we also do is we host a resource fair. And that's a really big part for us. We want to make sure that we are connecting people with the resources in our community. So we have a nonprofit resource fair where anyone that offers services to the community, they can come out and kind of explain what they do and what they have available.
Mm-hmm. And so this runs from when to when? What is the hours?
So it'll be from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., a three-hour event, and we got a lot packed into that 3 hours for everyone. So it will definitely keep people entertained.
And it is open to all in Findlay and throughout the county.
Yeah, we say Hancock County, but if we have people coming over from early, we don't worry about that too much.
I mean,
we're not checking IDs at the door.
Because, again, the idea is to build these stronger communities.
Absolutely.
Again, for the young ones, it also makes all of the first responders a little less scary.
Yeah, and a lot of times kids see us in uniforms, and again, with all the equipment we have, we do look pretty scary sometimes.
Yeah.
I even scare myself sometimes when I look in the mirror. But this is a chance for the kids to kind of get to know us on a one-on-one personal level. I mean, there is a lot of people, but there is a lot of bonding that goes on as well.
Right. And for the grown-ups, opportunities to ask questions, talk with local law enforcement first responders.
Yeah, and when we talk about the purpose of National Night Out, it was an extension of the Block Watch program, right? Mm-hmm. So again, the public engaged with an officer to some degree to facilitate that exchange of information. Mm-hmm. Hey, this is what's happening in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And that's something else that this event serves to do.
And you still get that?
We do.
From
In the age of technology, there's a lot of resources out there for the community to kind of get the information and what's happening in their neighborhood, mm-hmm. as well as share that information. But we still do a Block Watch program. It's still active here in Findlay.
And it's still, there's nothing like speaking face-to-face with an officer.
Correct, yeah. You know, a lot of times people, when they want to call in and give information, they don't know who they're talking to. They don't know where that information is going to go. If you're face-to-face with someone, you can kind of gauge that for yourself. How that conversation's going.
By the way, speaking of which, and while we're in the subject of crime prevention conversations, we have the story in the news this morning of additional scams out there, purportedly coming from the sheriff's office or local police about missed court dates, and you get calls or you get texts about these things. Again, you know, we have to be on the watch for these.
Yeah, so these scams happen all the time where you have some position of authority, a government agency, right, saying that you missed a court date, you need to pay a fine, you need to show up. If you don't, we're going to issue a warrant for your arrest, come out and arrest you. It gets people kind of scared because I don't want to be arrested, right? And they end up going and paying this alleged fine. That's not the case. Yeah, government agencies, we are some of the only people keeping the U.S. Post Office still in business. Everything comes through the mail. We don't call people. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I got one just the other day. It was a text message purportedly from the Turnpike Commission.
I got one of those too, yeah.
Yeah, saying I just been on the Turnpike, so even in my mind, no, this isn't true. That's not how they're going to do that. Even I had to think about it a little bit, and I do this. These scam presentations all the time.
Yeah. So again, the Night Out, Flag City Night Out event is a week from today at Riverside Park. Spend the afternoon / early evening with law enforcement and first responders in the community. It's a great event. A lot of fun for everybody involved. We've got a link up on our webpage for more information about that. And again, Brian White, Crime Prevention Officer, the Findlay Police Department, with us this morning. Thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Hey, Chris, thanks for having me.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Sometimes you don't have to go very far to find the broken news. In the Columbus suburb of Upper Arlington yesterday, there was a big oops. A crane fell at a construction site, smashing a car and sending the crane operator to a nearby hospital with minor injuries. He's going to be fine. That was the only injury in the whole thing. Apparently, the car that was smashed by the falling crane was unoccupied as crews were working. The cause of the accident remains under investigation. The ironic thing is that the crews were working on construction of the future Robert Crane Community Center, Tremont Road in Upper Arlington, named for the well-known Columbus business magnate, Robert Crane. The Robert Crane Community Center in the Crane felt smashed car. Good thing nobody is hurt, but that's a pretty big oops right there. So Crane Community Center has a whole new meaning. Elsewhere in the broken news, in St. Paul, Minnesota, Lowell Kevin Higgins Bay is facing multiple charges after a wild incident. Authorities say Mr. Higgins Bay was allegedly driving a stolen car when he fled from the cops, then crashed into a home where a woman and her children had been sleeping. It's a very rude awakening right there. Thank goodness no one in the house was hit or was hurt in the incident. But the home was severely damaged. By the way, that's not where the story ends. Mr. Higgins Bay, after crashing into the house, then took off again, running at least 5 stop signs before eventually being apprehended by police. Although running the stop sign seems to be rather minor as opposed to running into a house. Must have been quite the vehicle to survive running into a house and still was able to to take off. Man, try explaining that to your insurance company, though. Make a claim. I swear, we were just sleeping, minding our own business, and a car crashes into the house. Let's see. Dumb Criminal of the Day. Well, we've got a couple of nominees for the Dumb Criminal of the Day. Nominee number one, in Wilmington, Delaware, state patrol officers have arrested a man accused of stealing $10,000 from a convenience store earlier this month. Here was the scheme. Investigators say Christopher Crouch broke into the safe at the 7-Eleven where he worked, took the cash, and replaced it with counterfeit bills. Okay. Apparently, he turned himself in last week after finding there was a warrant out for his arrest. He is facing multiple charges. Brilliant plan. I'll take the money and replace it with fake stuff. Didn't work. Nominee number two for the title of Dumb Criminal of the Day is the Florida woman, Lauren Riley, her name. She has been arrested on felony charges after what could have been an uneventful traffic stop, except for one small detail, a poorly labeled bag in her purse. So this is the deal. Police say Ms. Riley was spotted without a seatbelt, and she was pulled over for a routine traffic stop, not wearing her seatbelt. All right, so far so good. But officials, while they were questioning her and writing out the citation, officials spotted a purse with a bag inside with the label that said bag of drugs. She had a bag in her purse labeled bag of drugs. And inside the bag, police found a needle, a metal spoon, glass pipes, crack cocaine, powdered cocaine, meth, Xanax, and other narcotics. It was truly a bag of drugs. She had to label it. She had to label it bag of drugs, which police then confiscated her bag of drugs, and it is now in the police evidence locker. Actually said bag of drugs on it. Okay. And finally, in the broken news, I'm not sure which of those is the dumb criminal of the day, but they are both in the running, neck and neck, I think. And finally, in the broken news this morning, if you are looking to pick up a collection of bedpans, I've got one for sale for you, and they gotta go. British woman by the name of Mary Jacobs is looking for a new home for her collection of 163 bedpans. Ms. Jacobs, age 77, said she started her collection back in 1984. And why did she collect bedpans for 40 years? Well, she says, I just wanted to collect something different. I just wanted to collect something different. I mean, anybody can collect stamps or, coffee mugs or shot glasses or collect coins, you know. This was something different. And then she said it just kind of snowballed from there. She said, I kept going around so many places and adding to my collection. She recently attempted to sell her collection at a Bateman's auction, but believe it or not, there were no buyers. The lot of 163 bedpans generated zero interest at the auction. Hard to believe. Ms. Jacobs claims the bedpans are washed, cleaned, and in great condition, and they are up for sale if anyone wants them. Went unsold at a recent... It's hard to believe that there's not a market out there for a bedpan collection. You would think that someone... Well, other than Ms. Jacobs, would be interested in the bedpans. There you go. If you are, you can Google it, I'm sure. You'll be able to find it without any problem. But I'll let you know that it is up for sale. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
WFIN has the opening tune-up for the Findlay Trojans on Saturday, August 10th, as they scrimmage Toledo St. Francis. This is Tim Montgomery, and WFIN will bring you the action live from Donnell Stadium at 10 a.m. Then get set for another exciting season of Trojan football with the opener on Friday, August 23rd at Toledo Central Catholic. The Trojans play here on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. As we are beginning to transition now into back-to-school mode, I thought this was really interesting. What do we always say to our kids when they, gripe about going to school? Hey, got to go to school, got to get an education so you can get a good job. And while landing a job offer straight out of college is usually the goal for new graduates, an increasing number of Gen Zers, young adults just coming out of college these days, an increasing number of these new college grads apparently have no qualms about accepting a job offer and then backing out of it at the last minute, reneging on an agreement to take a job that is offered. This is according to data from analysts at the research firm Verus Insights, who tell Business Insider that this year, 6% of students dissed their would-be employer in favor of a better offer. They would accept a job, but then they'd keep looking, and if they found a better offer, they'd go back and renege on the offer that they got initially. 6% of students did this this year, and that is double the number of students who did so in 2021. Double. I mean, it's still a relatively small number, but it is going up precipitously here. Furthermore, a survey from the job site for college students called Handshake found that 44% of students said that accepting multiple job offers is reasonable. 44%, that is 9 percentage points higher than 2022. In 2019, 16% of would-be employees said that they would never back out of an offer, and now that number is down to just 6%, so less than half since 2019. One recruiter of college students says that you really can't blame a potential new employee for backing away for a better offer. They are just making a pragmatic decision for themselves. And this individual said, this recruiter said, that's exactly what an employer would do. if they could make a better decision after making a job offer and pull an offer later, then they would do it. So it's no surprise that potential employees are doing it. I just thought that was kind of interesting when you look at it from all of those angles. So, yeah, we've been talking about making this transition to back to school time. And before you know it, the fall sports season will be underway. But there is still a little bit of summer left. So let's not forget about that. Lots of things to do in the great outdoors with programs and activities in the month of August. The Hancock Park District, Michelle Rumschlag is here to tell us what's happening. You know it as well as anyone that we're into this transition time now and starting to think about all of the stuff that's coming back to school and fall and all of that.
It is. And we're still busy. And again, you know, full all of August programs, HancockParks.com. So mm-hmm. all of August is on there.
Yep.
And
lots of things going on.
And September should be here shortly, if not already. So look for that this week. So we got September. And then a couple of weeks, we'll have the rest of the fall calendar, October, November, which is, I know, like, it's just so weirdo.
I'm not ready for this yet. Just not
I'm not rushing summer. Normally I'm like, I want to get into fall, and I didn't last year because I had a senior, and now it's like, let's just, it is August. You just start thinking, like I said,
right.
Practices start up, school starts up,
right.
But it's still, there's still plenty of time to get out in the parks and do stuff.
And we were talking a little bit earlier. We had the story about the fact that kids need time to play and get out, and doing that with your kids and how that is so beneficial. Here are some great opportunities to do that. Go and do things with your kids. You've got a tea coming up later this month?
Yeah, so we've got our American Girl Tea taking place out at Lützenburg. So we're back at Lützenburg this summer on Saturday, August 24th.
Okay.
And we do, it's the historical tea. So we do the dolls that have the historical time periods and stuff, and we rotate. So this one we're doing is Molly McIntyre. So she's the 1940s historical doll.
Okay.
So when things were kind of happening during World War II and what life was like there and the Victory Gardens and stuff. And so we've got two tea times. So 10:30 to 11:30, and then again at 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And this is geared for kids ages 7 to 12 with an adult companion.
Mm-hmm.
You do not need American Girl doll. You're encouraged to bring a doll if you've got one, great, or just one of your own.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's learning about Molly's life, and again, it's more of the historical time period kind of thing that we do. The food is based upon some of the stuff that's in the story.
Okay.
And so register. It's just the kids just need to register. So it's $15 per child that Friday before. Adults don't need to register. I know we've got kids signed up for the morning tea. The afternoon right now is still open, but if we get people signed up, we'll definitely do the afternoon one. And so just a fun time, especially right before school starts.
Right.
I mean, time to get the activities.
And you can sign up for that now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So everything out. Yes. Everything that's available here. Again, August, the rest of August coming up, and then even stuff in September that's online, you can sign up for.
Very good. That's one of the big things in the month. Yes. It's coming up a little bit later. We'll mention it now because you want to sign up sooner rather than later for that, obviously.
Yep.
What else is going on in the month of August?
Well, again, Zonta Landing is still open through all of August, and then Labor Day weekend is our last weekend with Labor Day being the final day. But we do have a couple opportunities for people to get on the water during the week. There's always those chances if you call the office and want us to schedule something with you and your friends or by yourself. If we've got staff available, we'd love to get you on the water.
Okay.
But something scheduled is happening on Tuesday, August 13th. It's our guided active adult kayak float. So our active adults are those 50 plus. This is taking place in the evening at 6 o'clock. Again, going to have one of our program specialists lead the way on the water. So $15 to sign up that afternoon. We just need you to register by. Check out the great blue herons and the turtles and just all the wildlife. And it's just a nice leisurely float down the river, up the river to Blanchard, come back to Zonta Landing there. So that's taking place on Tuesday, August 13th.
We mentioned that gives you a whole different perspective on seeing nature when you're actually on the river itself, as opposed to standing on the banks and looking at the river.
Oh, right. So you're totally, and you know, and it goes along Main Cross a little bit. For the most part, it's pretty quiet when you get moving, especially if you get past that bridge there on Bright Road and can meander up the river a little bit. You don't get a lot of the outside world, and you just get into nature and all of the animal sounds and bird calls and things.
Very cool.
And then also look forward to, again, this is in October, but we will be doing, again, our fall color floats.
Okay.
So that'll be taking place in October. If you don't want to get out now, it's just a little too warm for you, but we'll be doing that. And then you'll get the full color beauty of being
on
the water.
Look forward to that.
But we do have, again, opportunities still this summer to get on
the water. Okay. Anything else to highlight coming up in the month of October?
Well, for our little...
month of August?
For our little ones, we've got our monthly Wee Wins program, and this is on Monday, August 19th.
Okay.
This is going to take place out at Arrowland Recreation Area. So we do a lot of things at Oakwoods and River Bend, Lisbonburg, but Arrowland's a great park, might be one that maybe people aren't used to getting out to. It's quiet. We were talking about being quiet on the river.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lot of people go there, and that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
You get out there.
It's the newest park in the system, right?
It's one of the newer ones.
Yeah.
But it's a little remote, but again, you just don't have all the traffic or maybe all the people. So it's going to be at the shelter. August theme is caterpillars. So again, talking about them, taking a little hike, looking for caterpillars and butterflies.
Okay.
So again, there's no cost, just need to show up. And this is for kids 3 and under with an adult, but other age siblings are welcome to attend. So Monday, August 19th.
All right. And as we mentioned, all of the schedule of events is posted on the website and all of that. So
yes, hancockparks.com.
Not only for August, but September.
September should be on there. If you're looking today, I just got everything on the backside for those that need registration. So hopefully if they haven't already this morning, by the end of the week, September should be on there.
Okay. So again, plenty of opportunities for you to get out and enjoy what is left of the summer with the events, the Hancock Park District in the month of August. We've got a link at our webpage, goodmornings.net. Again, Michelle Rumschlag with us this morning. Thanks very much for dropping by.
Thanks for having me.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about on the program at our webpage. Visit us online at goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, as we wrap up Disability Pride Month in July, which marks the anniversary of the landmark Americans with Disabilities Act, there is more to be done to break down barriers that still exist for those with special needs. We'll talk about what the future holds. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.